In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know the Sermon on the Mount well, the Beatitudes, that you have heard that it was said of old, but I say to you, statements, love your enemies, do not be anxious. And the story of the wise man who built his house on the rock. For Ash Wednesday, Jesus speaks about secret offerings and prayers and fasts, and also laying up treasure in heaven. But it all starts with that first verse, where Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." In place of the phrase, "practicing your righteousness," other translations offer doing charitable deeds, or doing good deeds, or practicing piety and giving alms. And when we hear these phrases and the statement that Jesus just made, and his word about offerings and prayers and fasts, how do we understand them? I suspect that, whether we want to or not, and perhaps especially on Ash Wednesday, we hear them either as instructions for our spiritual lives or as condemnation for what we have neglected to do. Lent is often viewed as an occasion for spiritual discipline, for a renewed commitment to reading scripture and praying. Those are never bad things, and Lent is certainly a good time to do them. Perhaps you've also given something up for Lent, something like Facebook or soft serve ice cream, or even American Idol. It seems sometimes that Lent is like a new lease on life for our New Year's resolutions. It's easy to fit Jesus into this way of thinking and to make him our spiritual instructor, our trainer. His words about giving to the needy, praying and fasting, they can become a spiritual program for us, a way of reforming ourselves, cleaning up our act, behaving better. But in the end, if that's all it is, then none of this makes us any better than a Pharisee or any different, and certainly no different than a Hindu or a Muslim either. And another view of Lent is to see it as a time of self-reflection and awareness of our sins. It becomes another reminder of what poor creatures we are and of how badly we have neglected the offerings, the prayers, and the fasts that Jesus prescribes. It's possible to turn Jesus' words into a good old-fashioned fire and brimstone message in which he serves as our judge, jury, and executioner, making impossible demands and penalizing us for not keeping them. We can use his words as a club and punish ourselves so that we become completely absorbed by how sinful and wretched we are. We are certainly sinners. That is true. But you don't need Lent to see that. All you need is a mirror. It might be our natural reaction to hear Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as spiritual instruction or as a message of condemnation, but if that's what we hear, then we haven't really heard Jesus at all. That's not the sermon Jesus preaches. If we wish to hear Jesus' sermon and to honor Lent rightly, then we must think again about two phrases that he uses: your righteousness and your Father who is in heaven. Righteousness begins with Jesus. That's what Pilate's wife recognized. When speaking to her husband, she said of Jesus that he was a righteous man. She said this not because Jesus was innocent, although he was, or because he gave to the needy and prayed and fasted, although he certainly did those things, but not in front of Pilate's wife. What she said goes with what the crowd says immediately after her: "Let him be crucified." Jesus is righteous, and righteousness is what happens on the cross. It is not moral strictness or correct behavior. Rather, it is the mercy that Jesus gives to us sinners by dying for us. Righteousness is not what you do. It is what Jesus gives. It is his gift to you. It comes from his cross, and it enters into the chalice here in the chapel. In the Lord's Supper, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, and with them, the righteousness of Christ, given to you. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is nothing else than to desire Jesus, especially as he is here present in his body and blood in his supper. And because you have that, Jesus calls you one who is righteous and can speak of your righteousness. In the same way, apart from Jesus, you can have no father in heaven. Fathers come only through birth or adoption. That's the way it works. And yet Jesus, the only begotten and beloved Son of the Father, clearly calls you a child of the Heavenly Father. It's a statement of fact, just like your righteousness. There's no doubt and no uncertainty about it. God is Father to you because you have been baptized into his Son. And at the font, you were born a second time, the new birth of water and the Spirit. You became a part of his family. You have a Father in heaven. Everything else that Jesus says begins with these two gifts, the gift of his righteousness and the gift of his Father. All that the Father has is yours. And so you can bring your offerings to church and you can give to the needy, not so that others see what you do, but because you are under the Father's care and he has what you need. And you also can come and you can pray. You can pray the Lord's Prayer and you can speak to your Heavenly Father with all boldness and confidence as Jesus instructs, because your Father hears and cares for you. And you also can fast from the co-op food and from the dining hall, because your Father in heaven sets this table with exactly what you need, the body and blood of Jesus, the true bread from heaven. The things of this earth aren't permanent. They soon grow old and become worn out. You also are dust, and to dust you shall return. But do not despair, for Lent isn't merely about bettering yourself or throwing a pity party. You are not only dust. You are marked by the cross. You are baptized into Jesus. You are righteous. You eat at the Father's table. You are his children. This is what Jesus gives, and this is the sermon that he preaches. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.